blah 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 blah. You guys remember the old Charlie Brown Peanuts TV show? Yeah. Yeah. I am actually old enough to remember some of that. Although hopefully I don't look it. Maybe that's asking for too much, but words. We all know the experience of listening to someone longer than we feel like listening, don't we? I'm sure all of us have been the person someone else was tired of listening to on occasion. There's a lot of words out there. The dictionary just keeps getting bigger and bigger. We know the value of a good word, like apples of gold in settings of silver, I think the proverb says. We know the devastation of a bad word, just the wrong word at just the wrong time can ruin your day. And we know the humor of the romp word, the rogue word, the wrong word, whatever. I think we can all agree that words are important tools. I'll try to avoid giving you too many words today. My dear wife has had to remind me often in social settings, tell the short version, because she knows I can get long-winded. She's good for me. The Bible confirms the importance of a good word, but it goes further than that. Words have far-reaching influence. We've all heard the phrase, the pen is mightier than the sword. For instance, words can become digested and a part of us. We can hang on to them long after we hear them. When we believe words, they change us, don't they? Sticks and stones may break our bones, but words can break our hearts or heal them. We hear so many words so much of the time that we often ignore or forget many of them every day. But what if they have powerful effects beyond our consciousness? Can words perhaps effect change inside of us, sort of like digesting our food? If you have your Bibles or Bible on your phone, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. I think you'll recognize this because Jesus quotes it at Satan in the New Testament, in the famous scene where he's tempted by our enemy after 40 days of fasting. And this is where he gets it. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. He, meaning God, humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man does not live by bread alone. Bread's good stuff. My brother is a huge bread fan. He would eat bread every meal. It's good. But he knows as well as I do, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God is much more important. Our enemy attempted to get our Savior to use his power for food for his flesh. And it's that Jesus ate, likely enjoyed eating. But even with Jesus, he knew that his Father's will was more important than anyone's, even his own. Man needs food, and God knows this. But man needs God more, and our enemy knows this. This was why Jesus told us in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, not to worry about what will. For your heavenly Father knows things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. God's words are to be more important to us than food for our bodies. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it eat its fruit. Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am in your name, O Lord God of hosts. Am I on here? Okay, I am. Hello. So here again, in these scriptures, words are likened to food that blesses the eater with joy and fulfillment. God's words nourish us because of God's character. We can enjoy His words as a tasty dish because we believe in Him. Got to give words, just like food, a little time to settle. But wait, there's more from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. So we live spiritually because we believe God's words to us. They show us the truth that we need a Savior. We live physically by God giving us every breath, holding our atoms together, and providing the opportunity to get food, to make food, to eat food, and to increase wealth. And all this is by His word. So God's word is nourishment and joy and provision for us. Cool. But that's not all. The Bible also describes words as a cleansing wash. Think of a time when you were dirty, dry, gritty, and hot. Yeah, like you just rolled in the sand at the beach and did 50 push-ups. Got the picture? Listen to this from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. This reminds me of the car washing event we had at our house recently. We don't have a garage. We don't have a carport. We park our cars under the trees. And if you've ever parked your car under a tree for any length of time, things drop from the trees. Berries, leaves, we call it tree sweat. Stuff gets on your car. And, you know, our cars didn't look terrible, but after we washed them, oh my goodness. Wow. Those were some sweet rides. Man. Cleansing does something. And we didn't even cleanse the inside of the cars. All we did was put some soap and water on the outside. And even that made a difference. Washing of water by the word. Oh. Feels good to be clean, doesn't it? When you've really needed a shower and then you got to take one. Oh. Lovely. John 15, chapter 15, verse 3. Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. washing of water by the word feels so good. It cools, it soothes, cleans off the muck, it removes that which troubles us. It makes healing and growing and listening much easier. God's word, according to these passages, is able to cleanse and purify us. And we have an obligation, husbands, men, to imitate our Savior, who sacrificed himself for us that his word might sanctify and cleanse us. So we need to bring the word into the lives of our people. So we see God's word as food and as washing. But wait, there's more. Genesis 1, we're all familiar. God said, "Let there be," and it was so. God created all things by his word. The entire universe exists by the words that proceeded from the mouth of God. All the connections of physics and chemistry, all the plants and animals, all of digestion and nutrition exists and operates because of God's words. Isaiah 55, verse 1. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God's word is effective. It makes things happen. It accomplishes what God pleases. It prospers in the mission God gave it. It is powerful. Everything came from nothing except God's words. That's authority. That's creativity. There's a reason to learn all you can from your language and your language teachers. Words mean things, and it matters how you use them. Math supports this idea. Gotcha. 2 always equals 2. Our universe would be meaningless and frustrating if it didn't, if 2 sometimes meant 1 or 3. The absolute nature of numbers and the meanings of words, and especially names, is important to reckon with. These are all under attack by the enemy these days. If you can convince someone that words, numbers, and names can mean whatever you want or nothing at all, then there's no way or reason to communicate effectively. Everyone only knows what they know, and no one can tell what they know to anyone else. You can see why our enemy likes this. The Bible has more to say about the effectiveness of God's word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "The word of the Lord is living and effective," or active, "sharper," shing, "than any two-edged sword, penetrating. It is able to judge and discern the ideas, thoughts, and motives of the heart." God's word goes deep. God's word is not fooled. God is too smart to be outwitted. The word "technically" doesn't work with God. Lawyers do not escape God's word. The rich are not let off from obeying it. The powerful are not able to overcome or contradict it. God's word, living and yet unchanging, is active in judgment and clarity if we will let God's word dwell inside us. So God's word is food, it washes us clean, and it works to do powerful things. But wait, there's more. John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. Jesus is the Word, the expression of the Father, His message to us in our own language. He is eternally existent, the fullness of God's power and love, the creator of all things. God's Word created, and then His Word joined creation so that creation could join its creator. The Word is the connection between God and man because He is fully and completely both at once and forever. God spoke to us in our conscience, in creation, in our nature, and then spoke to us in dreams, visions, and manifestations. But He spoke to us ultimately in His only begotten Son, that seeing Him, we could affirm that we have also seen the Father, that we have known the Father, that we can begin to understand and love both the Father and the Son, and that the Spirit lives in us both individually and collectively as Christ's body on earth. God's Word was designed and delivered to bring about our reunion with the Father. God's words bring joy, life, creation, rescue, and reunion. Our words seem to be characterized somewhat differently by Scripture. Turn to James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, taming the flaming tongue. Not many should become teachers, my brothers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a mature man who is also able to control his whole body. Now, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we also guide the whole animal. And consider ships. Though very large, driven by fierce winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts great things. Consider how large a forest a small fire can ignite. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among the parts of our bodies. It pollutes the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and is set on fire by hell. Every sea creature, reptile, bird, or animal is tamed and has been tamed by man, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. We praise our Lord and Father with it, and we curse men who are made in God's likeness with it. Praising and cursing come out of the same mouth. My brothers, these things should not be this way. Does a spring pour out sweet and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree produce olives, my brothers, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a saltwater spring yield fresh water. Proverbs 6, verse 2. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Matthew 12, 37. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Ouch. Clearly, our words have power too. But we don't seem to use them very well, do we? We've corrupted our thoughts and so corrupted our words as we have corrupted everything else on this planet. We spew curses and blessings from the same mouth. sometimes while we're in traffic. I'm reminded of the lukewarm church in Revelation, which Jesus himself condemned. But God can and does redeem and restore even our words when we surrender to him. The more we learn and eat and wash in his word, the more his word gets inside of us, becomes a part of us, and the more effective it can be through us. What's the theme verse for Bible Bowl? Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And again in Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. God's words lead us and protect us. So God's word is food, water for washing, powerful and effective, sharp and active, protection and light. It changes us and makes us like our Father, like our Savior. Do you begin to see why the Bible is the most published, most sold, most shoplifted, and probably most quoted and misquoted book worldwide? God's word is powerful. That was a VBS theme several years ago. Do you see why the enemy and many humans who serve him as captives fight so desperately to discredit the Bible and keep it out of their countries? They know how powerful God's word is, even though they don't believe it. And sometimes they sense it more keenly than we do because they're having to fight against it. Do you see why the effort to translate is so opposed? Why the proliferation of web-enabled cell phones with access to the Bible online has so much potential? All the laws, borders, and agents in all the world cannot stop God's word from spreading. History bears this out. Every time Christianity is declared dead, it pops up again and starts to spread like the best virus ever. You can see why those who serve our enemy as captives would complain and lament, continually confounded by the undefeated nature of the church, the body of Christ our Savior. But wait. As great as that is, yes, there is even more. Matthew 24, verse 14. This good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. God's word is final. God's word is a signal that he is alive and in charge, that his plans and purposes are being accomplished. God's word is unbreakable, unalterable, and unstoppable. My words, Jesus said, will not pass away. One of my favorite things about the Bible is that I didn't write it. I'm not responsible for its content. It takes a lot of pressure off. All I have to do is read it, learn it, and pass it on. God's in charge of the timing and the results. It's his word. He's the one who wrote the book. And if you don't like it, it's not about me anymore. It's between you and him. I'm just the messenger. All of us are. We're also witnesses. People will consider our message in light of our lives. But we didn't write the book. We do not need to have any qualms about it being examined, about it being questioned.
if we believe that God's really right, then we can believe that his word is right, no matter who stands against it. God's word ultimately is the only one that matters. All other words bow to his, as every knee will bow to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And God's word is what it is because he is who he said he is. The late Dr. Donald Vance indicated that the flavor of that particular passage, "I am that I am," ran close to, "I am whoever I darn well please. Get over it." God is who he is, and there is the beginning and the completion of all things. There is the final word. And there is nothing to be done about it except to respond to him as he is. And we respond when we hear his words. Romans 10 says, "How can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent?" So faith comes by what is heard. And what is heard comes through the message about Christ. God's word must be heard. We must listen and then speak it. This is how we work as Christ's own body. We ingest God's word, we dwell on it, we interact with God, and we find God's word coming out of us when it's needed. A body eats and digests and stores nutrients that get used when the body has need of it. And that's what we're to do with God's word. God's word is food and washing because God provides. God's word is powerful and effective because it comes from the most effective and powerful presence to be found anywhere. God's word is sharp and active because God knows everything, sees everything, and is so infinitely active in all things that we are unable to realize all that God does from beginning to end, as it says in Ecclesiastes. God's word is protection and light because God and all that belongs to God has an enemy who authors confusion. So we need protecting and guiding. God is the source of all light, all understanding, all clarity, all brilliance, and all truth. Naturally, his expressions, his words, reflect all these things about him, just as our expressions reflect our natures, purposes, and devotions. And God's word brings reunion if we will accept it and let him in when he knocks. So what would God say to you today? How is he knocking on your heart? We live by the words that proceed from the mouth of God. We live bathed in these words, pierced and convicted by these words, protected and led by these words, energized by these words, rescued and reunited with him by these words. We stand on these words, but more than that, we are alive because of the words of our God. Our God's words mean things. They mean life because they mean him. We must learn God's words for ourselves and for others that the body may use what is needed in every situation. So let's have a healthy helping of God's word every day so it's ready for use. It does the body good, so pass it on.